In the previous service, we approached the sixth condition, that of obedience, the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, has no conception of life and duty when seeking pardon. But the believer has. He or she does have full knowledge of God's will for his or her life. The question now is submission to and conformity with that will. Obedience is not picking and choosing. Obedience is absolute surrender to the will of God in all things. It means that we literally take our places before Jesus as his love slaves. Jesus said to his disciples, "Tarry in Jerusalem until." That is exactly what they did. Peter might have said, "I can wait on a Galilee beach as easily and as religiously as I can in Jerusalem." Jesus said, "Jerusalem." Another of the 120 might have said, "It's unreasonable. I have aged parents at home who need me there. I can wait at home as easily as I can in Jerusalem." Jesus said, "Jerusalem." They had learned better than to dictate to their master. They had learned in military parlance that it was an order, and orders are to be obeyed. This heavenly gift will be withheld until every symptom of insubordination, rebellion, and dictation has vanished. It is our privilege to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Finney said to a seeker, "My brother, if you want to find God, you will not find him up there amongst all the starch and flattery of hell. You will have to come down for him. Be not conformed to this world. It's quite a descent for most from pinnacles of pride and high-mindedness. Check your worldly patterns of conformity in dress, in language, in entertainment, in supper parties, in hair, in beards, in summer vacations, in church attendance, in the salvation of your children. What are the patterns you have established for your own comfort? What afterthought are you giving to Jesus? How much of self is served? Make no mistake about it, the life of Christian victory is a life of sacrifice. What about your habits? What allowances have you permitted until they have become a way of life with you? Do you loll in the movies? You rationalized that you needed to get closer to life, to know the bare and raw facts as they are in 1975, so that you can counsel properly. And now you are an expert on movies instead of heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Dr. Wilbur Chapman, the evangelist remarkably used of our Lord, relates that he sought the mighty infilling of the Spirit for 5 years. He says, "I had had visions of this authority and glimpses of what I might be if I were filled with the Spirit. Yet, as it was with the disciples at Ephesus, there was a great lacking. At last, I reached the place where I felt I was willing to make a surrender. I reached it by the path marked out by F.B. Meyer when he said, 'If you are not ready to surrender everything to God, are you ready to say, I'm willing to be made willing about everything? And alone before God, I said, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing.'" A great holiness revivalist records, "I have never known a person to be filled with the Spirit who used or sold tobacco. It is too vile to be tolerated by the Spirit in a body which he proposes to make a temple. The fact is this, seeker, the Holy Spirit is the proposed resident, must have total choice as to furnishings and program for his temple." A seventh condition to receiving is full consecration. "Present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." The New Testament declares, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Glorify God therefore in your body." And it is said of the early believers, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Consecration and sanctification are not the same. The first is the antecedent of the second. Consecration is what I do. Sanctification is what God does. God never consecrates for us, and we never sanctify for God. Exodus 32:29 says, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." The bundle of clothes we take to the laundry must be presented and turned over to the laundry before they can be washed, dried, and ironed. Consecration is the act of turning over the life to the very God of peace. General Booth had some remarks about Adam. Adam, he said, forsook a life of entire and constant service to God and set up to be independent of God. He ceased to be a servant of God and went into business for himself. He gave up living to please God in everything and started to live to please himself. Adam must reverse that trend. He must stop pleasing himself and start pleasing God. So that is what it is all about. This is more than imagination or sentiment, a condition or a feeling which stops with the benediction. It is reality. The first big test will come in money matters. Will you please God or please yourself? And you'll know by the check you write. God has been driven from his throne in the hearts of men and women everywhere. He must reign uncontested in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your body. There can be no divided separate interests. All of you must be at his disposal. The uppermost thought in the sinner's mind is relief from the burden of guilt, pardon of sin, escape from penalty. He is like an ancient Israelite fleeing to the city of refuge. The believer has a different approach. He comes as a son. He wants to further family interests. He has an inside view. He knows what hands, feet, eyes, lips, memory, affection, ambition, time, reputation, friends, possessions, influence can produce if given wholly to the service of Jesus Christ. The believer comes to terms with Christ's ownership. Paul did. "I bear about in my body the brands of the Lord Jesus." Paul gloried in it. He felt it was superb achievement. He wore the colors proudly. Somewhere you must say to Jesus, "Lord, I'm thine by right, and I wish to be thine by choice." The Israelites came to David in this manner. They offered allegiance to the heaven-appointed but uncrowned king and said, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse." Do that to Jesus, and you will remember it and feel it through eternity. Paul said of Jesus, "Whose I am and whom I serve." Consecration is a matter of the will. Gush will not accomplish it. It isn't trying to feel good. It isn't building merit. You can't earn God's approval or deserve God's approval. We must will God's will for our lives beyond any mental reservations. It is unconditional surrender. It is giving up and giving in. Anything else would be like surrendering the whole body to the doctor, all but one limb, which had cancer. There is that moment when we sign a transfer and convey to him all rights and privileges. It is an act of dedication. You dedicate yourself to his word. You dedicate yourself to know Jesus, to discover more about Jesus every day. You dedicate yourself to his pleasure. You dedicate yourself to his provision for you and his choice of work for you. You dedicate yourself to trust. You dedicate yourself to trust God under any circumstances. You dedicate yourself to stay put regardless of discouragement or temptation. You dedicate yourself to enjoy God, not to survive through services and altar calls and assigned ministries. You dedicate yourself to hear only what God says, to see only what God chooses you to behold, to touch only at his bidding, and to use every power and capability in and for him only. It's a big, big moment, a very real moment. One dear saint did it this way. "Oh Lord, I give thee all I know to give, just as well as I know how. When I come to know and have more, I will give more." That is as honest as you can be. Dear wife, you may have the struggle one wife records. She heard Jesus say to her, "Will you give your husband to me?" She answered, "Lord, I will die willingly if thou wilt let him live. But I cannot live without him. My health is so poor. I could not take care of this family without my husband. I would lose the house. I would be terrified. You see, it is easy to sing, leaning on the everlasting arms. It's not so easy to do it. This woman testifies that the conflict lasted 2 days, and then the word came, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. And she testifies, I yielded to God. I'll tell you this, consecration is not to God's service, not to his work, not to the mission field. It is to God himself. We consecrate just as we marry, to a person. I take vows, I assume vows. You cannot consecrate your liquor, your card playing, your dancing, your theater going to God. You do not consecrate habit or vice or appetite. God wants none of these things. You abandon such things. You consecrate yourself. Mister, there's no victory like victory over self. This will advance the gospel quicker and farther than numbers or wealth or talent or facilities. Take self from the throne and you have it all. Not till, like Paul, we are crucified and are dead to self and alive unto Christ, and Jesus lives in us and works through us, will we see the book of Acts results. So in our next service, God willing, I'll bring you to the final segment of this message, How to Receive. God has this life of victory for us. The presence and the power of the Master fills the meeting. It makes the invitation the anticipated moment. I feel as reported in the Gospels, come, all things are now ready. You'll become a part of a victory flow of traffic in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Thomas McWright knelt as this prayer line wove itself through Los Angeles. He says, Brother Ward, I could not in myself stop smoking cigarettes. And I knelt at the long, long altar and talked to God about this problem. I lifted the name of Jesus in praise, and instantly the miracle happened. I was free. Maud Morris, there at Bowling Green, Kentucky, knelt with a different request. This family is so thankful the station WLBJ brings these ministries into their home. Brother Ward, we came to the long, long altar for God to help us start a church building. And now we're pouring the concrete and the building is on the way. God does care. He cares about you. You will never have your confidence misplaced. These are sacred, sacred moments. We kneel to express our confession that Jesus of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of God. And thus thy name is authority in our claim to come with praise and petition. Not even a computer could register the need and the desire multiplied at this altar. But it is known to thee, every detail. And thus this long, long altar is superior to any help a world system affords. I pray especially for the runaway from thee, that person who has made a career thus far out of seeking to avoid thee, and thy will for his or her life. I pray for a sweet surrender. And I pray for the handicapped. I ask the divine extras may be distributed among those courageous ones who face life without a full complement of tools. Sustain them. And I pray for the social outcast, the one so marked and marred by sin that all doors seem closed. Jesus loves, and I know it. So please find these folk as they kneel somewhere in the shadows of the long, long altar. I know the Son of God has been listening. Jesus is here to comfort and cheer just when we need him most. My mother sang that old dear gospel song to me so many times. And I know he has come to the long, long altar. And he has come to rebuke and clear a rash that has broken out on a dear lady's forearms who is in distress at this altar. Jesus is moved with compassion towards you, lady. The rash will disappear and will not return. It is for God's glory and for the spread of the kingdom of his Son. I'm simply the Lord's evangelist. The meeting has convened again. The Holy Spirit summoned this crowd. We didn't come for entertainment or education. We came to pledge ourselves to the service of Jesus. The meeting is a guarantee that the meeting in the air will be assembled as surely and as quickly as we met 1/2 hour ago. And we'll come from everywhere, including the graves. I believe this because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.